Welcome, everyone, and thanks for being with me this next hour. I'm C.A. Brooks, and you are listening to the Friday Morning Show here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way you experience life and spirituality. And I say spirituality because when I do the Friday Morning Show, which is usually the first and the third Fridays of the month, I talk about A Course in Miracles. So today is the first Friday of the month. It's October 6th, 2017. And on today's show, we will be talking about A Course in Miracles. And I'm excited to welcome back author Susan Dugan. And we will be looking at and discussing lesson number 193 from A Course in Miracles workbook for students, which is All Things Are Lessons God Would Have Me Learn, which I'm just quite certain is going to surprise you, as, you know, the number of times that I've actually done the workbook, but sometimes I'll just come back and I'll read it and go, oh, is that what that means? And so I hope that you know, you get a little aha or some surprises this morning as we go through this. And if you have A Course in Miracles, if you specifically have that workbook for students, you might want to just pull it out and read along as we're talking about this lesson. The other thing that you can do along with us is that you can go to our private group in Facebook, and you can post questions or comments, etc., like a few other people have already done, like Liliana. Hi there, and Elizabeth and Ade. Thanks for being here this morning. And, oh, and there's Renee. Thanks for coming in and being early today. But the way you get to that Facebook group is you go to our radio website, which is 12radio.com. And when you go there, you'll see a link that says chat. And if you click it, you'll automatically be redirected over to Facebook. And if you've never been in the room before, then our producer, Scott Weaver, is literally that guy standing at the door who's going to let you come into the room. So thank you so much for those of you who are already there. And if you want to join us over there, you can. You don't have to. But it's kind of fun during the show to do that. So Susan Dugan is my guest today. She's usually the one that is here the first Friday of the month. And she is the author of three books on forgiveness: Extraordinary Ordinary Forgiveness, Forgiveness Offers Everything I Want, and Forgiveness, the Key to Happiness. She's also the co-founder for the School for A Course in Miracles, and she facilitates ACIM study groups, mostly in Denver, Colorado. But she's often speaking somewhere else in the country, so you may have the opportunity to actually meet her or to hear her speak sometime, as well as listening to her on the radio. So welcome, Susan. Thank you for being here this morning.
Well, thanks for having me. It's always fun to talk, CA.
Well, it is. And, of course, I always like to know, I always ask Susan, you know, if she has a preference for what we're going to talk about. And she is the one that suggested this lesson. So I always like to know what prompted this lesson.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think really maybe something that other people are listeners and maybe UCA have been experiencing lately is how many troubling things are going on, seem to be going on in the world, in our dream. And, you know, in my personal life, having some, you know, we always have difficulties coming up in our special relationships, in our personal lives. I recently went to visit my elderly parents who are really struggling in various physical and, you know, struggling a little bit with dementia and other emotional problems, and so it was a very difficult visit, and then just the you know, seeming acceleration of tragedies that we're sort of witnessing going on in the world, from hurricanes to earthquakes to this recent mass shooting, and really, you know, I think trying to apply A Course in Miracles is saying to what we're witnessing, to the reactions that come up as we deal with things in our own personal seeming lives, and then the greater collective. And this lesson really came, you know, I thought of this lesson and kind of went back to it for a refresher. You know, I felt like I needed to return to the practical aspects of forgiveness, and this lesson really embodies that in a very, very eloquent way. And it speaks to the idea that as course students, we are asked to change the purpose of our lives from this, you know, reactive prison of the ego thought system in which we're constantly experiencing ourselves sort of you know, under fire, literally, sometimes, from the outside world, from all of these sort of incoming attacks, completely unaware that we're projecting, you know, this idea of guilt out there and wanting to see it in some form or another, wanting to see a world of victims and victimizers. And instead to begin to look at that, from a different perspective, to go back, to pause and step back as we become reactive and frightened and angry and, you know, whatever's coming up for us. And to say, you know, I have a different, there is a different way of looking at this that will lead me toward peace. It may not be an instant fix, but it's going to lead me toward a more loving, kind, and peaceful way of living in this world, which I think is what brings most people to a spirituality like A Course in Miracles, is that longing for some solace, you know, for some stability, for some sense of true union. And so this lesson really, you know, gives us the practice, outlines sort of the practice of forgiveness, which is really this questioning the cause of all of my reactions and entertaining the possibility that maybe it's not, you know, that maybe the reason I'm really upset about this is not the awful picture that I'm seeing and seem to be experiencing, but really that's a projection, that's a outpicturing of a thought in the mind. And, you know, that thought in the mind was the mistaken thought that I separated from God and now had to sort of run away figuratively and I now deserve punishment. And so I'm constantly trying to trade off guilt with some other, you know, dream figure, body in the world. And so, you know, that always gives rise to this constant one or the other that we, and this constant conflict that we see out there as everyone here tries to, in some way, you know, prove that they exist apart from God, but it's not their fault. It's someone else's. And we all have we all have a lot of people that we can point to as the cause of all of the problems that we have, in our private dreams. So this lesson, I really wanted to go back and review and it also really speaks very clearly to the metaphysics of the Course. And although it you know, which speaks on two levels, and you know, it starts, the name of the lesson is "All things are lessons God would have me learn," and yet we're told in the Course that God doesn't know about this world, and the very first sentence of the lesson says
God does not know of learning.
So you've got a contradiction right there, but that's not really contradictory. Once you've worked with the Course for any amount of time and really begin to ground yourself and understand the two levels on which it speaks, the one level being the truth of us, which is this undifferentiated union with God that's abstract, you know, the one child of God that has never really left the source. That's the truth in us. That all loving eternal part of us is remains intact and is really just dreaming a dream of exile and separation and conflict. And, you know, dreaming a dream of what would it be like to run away from, from home and, you know, experiment, with this impossible dream of individuality. And that was a guilty thought for us. And as a result, we experience it as usually in some form as a very punishing thought. And even though we have temporary, you know, times where we think that we also feel a tremendous sense of lack and because we think that we forfeited God's love. And so, you know, we're always seeking for ourselves literally in the world, in another body, in another person or, you know, another relationship, another job, another, you know, money, stuff, fame, success, and trying to make some kind of meaning of ourselves through something outside us. And it never really works. And we constantly walk around feeling very, very empty. And the consequences of that as we, you know, that erupt periodically and seems like very frequently in the collective are, you know, devastating. You know, they range from, you know, minor sort of assaults to really catastrophic looking things. The course doesn't distinguish between those because all of them are not real, and all of them are an outpicturing of that same guilt in the mind. And so what the course is leading us to is this gentle way of beginning to use our lives as a classroom in which we can allow the undoing of that guilt in the mind through this very gentle process of forgiveness, which is really simply the two steps of, as I become reactive to anything in my, in, you know, whether it's my parents or a political figure or a terrorist attack or an earthquake, you know, that is my moment in which to not deny what I'm feeling, to you know, fully feel what I'm feeling, but to question that maybe I'm wrong about the cause of it. And maybe this is really coming from a decision I'm making in the mind somewhere, you know, to make guilt real, to make separation real. And that I'd like to learn to find peace instead of this. I'd like to learn to be able to be peaceful no matter what seems to be happening, to not be a victim of the world I see constantly, and to be led back with this new teacher in my mind to a sense of true safety, which is available to us even here. But, you know, it's we have to, because we seem to run away from it, we have to begin to retrace our steps back to the mind. And we have an inner teacher, which is represented in the course as Jesus, Holy Spirit, which is really just this memory of that true whole state, whole loving and safe and kind and all-inclusively loving state in which there is no conflict and there is no war going on. And you know, we can go back up the ladder to remember that state through these little steps, which are, you know, questioning what's happening in our lives and the willingness to look at it differently. So that's why. That's a long way of getting to the reason that I you know, this lesson is kind of an immersion in the idea of our lives as a kind of forgiveness academy instead of a prison of the ego, you know, thought system of sin, guilt, and fear, which is what we're constantly seem to be experiencing in our world.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what this lesson reminds me of, you know, to kind of just interject something here, is that you alluded to it. We always want the world to make sense. You know, like even with the latest mass shooting, you know, 24/7 news cycle trying to make sense, trying to fit the pieces together. Now, I'm not saying that on some level that isn't satisfying, but mostly it isn't, because it's never going to make sense. And that's how I think, you know, when we come to spirituality too, at least for me, and I know a number of other people, it's because we just want something to make sense, and we can't make sense of a world that truthfully is insane. And so then we come to this lesson, and I do think this lesson is challenging if you haven't been doing the course. Because as you said, this lesson in particular talks to us on multiple levels. And from the very beginning, God doesn't know anything about learning, but God would have you learn all these things as lessons. So it's sort of like, okay, which is it? But it's, you know, so this one is a little confusing if you haven't already been following the course, reading the text, and doing the lessons. But it is, as you said, just like the perfect example. And the thing I like about this lesson too is how it sets it off so clearly. Forgiven, you will see this differently. Mm-hmm. And I would bring up the idea that this is what's frustrating to me, but it is something I'm coming more to in my life. And that is that idea of wanting things to make sense. I want to know how it works. I want to know how it works. And you know what? That's never going to happen. So with this particular lesson, it is almost too, like, it's not saying, okay, A, B, C, D, E, this all is going to be a logical progression, and then you'll know that you can forgive. You know, in some ways it simply says, here's the litmus test. Have you lost your peace of mind?
Yep.
You know, are you feeling upset? Are you feeling angry? Are you feeling frustrated? Okay, then the answer, regardless of the form, It doesn't matter what the form is. It doesn't matter what you think got you upset. Forgive and you will see this differently. Choose another teacher. Choose again. And why I like that is because ultimately that is the answer. And yet I'm going to look for every single little way that I can get around that, or I'm going to look for all those answers that I think are out there, and they're not out there. And in fact, recently, several times, I've had the opportunity, I've been in situations that I would just say almost were no-win situations. And with a with a group of people or with a person that I knew that nothing I could say was going to change a situation, and yet it was very emotionally volatile. And so, I kind of go back to Winston Churchill, during World War II, he basically said, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, the United States will always eventually do the right thing, but only after they've exhausted every other possibility. And I always come back to that with the human race, because I think he is talking about the human race. You know, we as people, we will get the answer. We've already gotten the answer. Of course, says, we've already been there. We've tried out every single route, we've tried them all. And the truth is we just don't remember that we did. And we keep going through the cycle. And so I think about that. But I was in that situation where I had no alternatives, really. There was not going to be a logical, reasonable way that I could address either of these situations. And so I literally just said, okay, Jesus as my teacher, I don't know what to say, I don't know what to do, and I'm just going to put it in your hands. And it was interesting because what happened is I didn't try to address the situation at all. Not at all. I just showed up. And it was kind of amazing. And in several situations, everything seemed to just like fall into place or calm down, and it just worked out better than it was. And people even said, what did you say? What did you do? And I said, not really anything. Mm-hmm. And it was such a demonstration to me that it wasn't about coming up with the best logical answer. It wasn't about refuting what somebody else believed was happening. It was just about being there and showing up. And it didn't really matter. It didn't matter what we were talking about. It didn't matter if we were talking about hair or clothes or, next Tuesday's news. It did not matter. So once again, the form wasn't important at all. Well, the only thing that was important is I just said, I'm going to show up. I'm just going to be here. And whatever comes out of my mouth is going to be what comes out of my mouth. And I'm just going to be here in this situation with these people.
Right. Well, and that's exactly, the most important thing I stress and stressed in my own, in my class that I teach and I'm always teaching myself and in my practice is that we've got to return again and again to the humility of I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know anything. I mean, if I don't know what I am, and the Course is telling us we do not, then pretty much I'm wrong about everything.
Right.
and I think there's a world. The Course tells us we think we have eyes that see and ears that hear and a body that feels. And, certainly that's our experience. And it's not asking us to deny it, but we don't know anything. And so the very first step of forgiveness is I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I'm wrong about the cause, but as you say, and what brings us to that, as you say, is the pain, is the impossibility that shows up eventually of, the conflict that we're in trying to figure out what will work when there's a deep, and we block it, but there's a nagging sense that nothing's going to work, nothing I do is going to work. Nothing I see, those early course workbook lessons, nothing I see means anything. I have given everything I see, all the meaning that it has for me. And as you were saying, we're constantly trying to assign meaning to everything. People, the news cycle is desperately looking for motive in the shooter, as if that would somehow make everyone feel better, I mean, it doesn't fix anything, And what motive could there really be in truth for something as atrocious as this? And so the awareness that we don't know, if we can return to that, and usually it's it's easier to do that with big things than it seems to be with little things. We tend to try to solve the problems that, you know, are a little less challenging in our lives. We hang in a little more, but when we're overwhelmed with something that is really difficult, you know, eventually we do reach a point where we just throw up our hands and, you know, recognize that this is just too painful. And that's the invitation to the Holy Spirit. You know, maybe there has to be another way. There has to be a better way. And the lesson, you know, no one gives us lessons. God doesn't give us lessons. Holy Spirit doesn't give us lessons. And a lot of times in the Course, when there's this reference to God, it's really not talking about God. It's talking on what Ken Wapnick called level two. It's talking about, God's, you know, sort of liaison, which would be Jesus, Holy Spirit. That memory of wholeness in our mind is that's our teacher. And, but that teacher doesn't give us lessons either. Whatever's happening in my life, when I choose to question and say, I don't know how to fix this, I need, you know, I don't know what's causing this, but I want to see peace instead of this, which on some level you were saying in that situation, CA, when I'm able to do that's when it becomes my curriculum. That's when it becomes a lesson. And a change in purpose, because the lesson before was the ego thought system is alive and intact and very, very threatening and impossible, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, I'm changing the purpose. I'm changing the teacher. I'm changing from the ego to the Holy Spirit, and I'm changing the purpose from rooting me more deeply in a dream of exile from love, exile from God, exile from my true self. To, you know, changing the purpose to a classroom in which I can learn right now to take another step toward peace, toward the mind, toward opening to what I really am and remembering what I really am with help from this teacher. And when I do that, as you were saying, I'm calm. You know, I go above what the battleground is, one of the metaphors the Course uses. The Course uses a lot of metaphors and they get very mixed up sometimes.
Yeah.
But one of them is the battleground and the stately calm within the quiet center. But when I'm in that place, which is really that loving presence in the mind, which really holds us all, you know, has everyone's back, Then I will be coming from calmness and from a state of, in which I'm no longer defending my personal self. And that has to result in, you know, a much calmer and more peaceful experience, period. That's seeing things differently. The form may not change, but my experience of the form will be way different.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And in fact, you know what I'm reminded of too, you know, on a physical level, twice in my life, I've been in situations where I thought, this is it. I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. One of them was in a car situation where I was in a snowstorm and my car started spinning on an interstate.
Oh my gosh.
And as it spun, it occurred to me there was nothing left for me to do. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. I afterwards I was hysterical, but in that moment, I was totally calm because
right.
I knew there wasn't anything else I could do. I mean, my car was doing, you know, those 180, 360s, you know, in the middle mm-hmm. of the highway. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I couldn't stop it. You know, nothing I had done would stop it. Another time I was in the ocean and I had kind of gotten caught into a riptide.
Oh, and yeah. You
know, it's like you fight. And then that's it. I literally said, I don't think there's anything else you can do. So if this is it, this is it. And it was amazing how calm I got. Just, you know, I just got calm because, you know, and I think about that emotionally or I think about that psychologically, you know, a lot of that is what we're talking about here. Once we come to that place of recognizing there's nothing you can do on your own, you're not going to change this, you know, nothing is going to work, then you become calm because you've laid aside the personal responsibility. And I'm not talking about abdicating things that you can do, but you recognize that all of a sudden it's not on your shoulders anymore because you're powerless, you know,
right.
And it's amazing how calm, then you get clear. you know, and and things happen, or you make choices, or, you know, maybe something happens and you figure out what to do, because all of a sudden you're in a whole other space of I guess I was wrong. There is nothing I can do about this situation. And if we could just, you know, come to that place easier, then we would probably get more satisfying answers quicker.
Right. And the answer is all, you know, that it is, there's great relief in that. And there's great relief when we can't solve a personal problem in, you know, recognizing that maybe the problem, maybe I'm looking for the answer where it is not, you know?
Right.
And that's that first step of forgiveness. I can't, maybe it's a giving up,
mm-hmm.
you know? It's not really surrender in the sense that we're taking the problem as we have defined it and handing it over to the Holy Spirit to solve the problem in the, you know, as we defined it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that backing up and saying, you know, I'm wrong. I don't know. Nothing is working. And, you know, but, and maybe I don't even know what the cause is. How could I know the solution? So, mm-hmm. but I'd like to, you know, I want to feel better. And that's what this lesson emphasizes too, a little later on in the lesson. And when we're willing to do that, we've joined with the real power, which is that presence, loving presence in our mind. And we've also, without knowing it, taken a step back from the investment in the personal self to the mind, and the hope and the whole point of A Course in Miracles is to get us very gradually and gently to begin to disidentify with, you know, our defensive body and personal self, and to begin to introduce us and then gradually strengthen our confidence in the decision-making mind to choose again. As mm-hmm. you were saying. And when we're, you know, so how do we get there? Well, we're in school. We practice and we practice and practice and practice. And the training is to practice this with all the little things that arise in our day and, you know, to notice when things seem more threatening how we maybe don't want to practice. I mean, in cases like that, we give up completely, as you were saying. But we want to really develop this muscle, you know.
Yeah.
that's kind of an odd way to put it, but it's the strength of the mind, and to sort of let the strength of the personal self begin to atrophy, you know, get our ego out of the way. Let's rely less on the ego chatter, which just never shuts up. And begin to just, you know, really see that the answer isn't there. And we're not doing that alone. You know, we have this teacher in the mind, which isn't giving us specific lessons, but in content is giving us true, is telling us constantly that we are loved. We are supported. We are, you know, we are not the home of evil, darkness, and sin, and is leading us to look on others and to see others as it does, which is as the same frightened, you know, ego creatures that we are,
mm-hmm.
mistaking themselves for what they are not, and driven to conflict and driven to attack and defend constantly in some kind of, tug of war over who's the more guilty. And so I wanted to read just a little bit that kind of introduces these ideas. Is that okay?
Oh, absolutely.
So paragraph, I'm going to read from part of paragraph 3 and maybe a little bit beyond that. But he says, each lesson has a central thought, the same in all of them. The form alone is changed, with different circumstances and events, with different characters and different themes, apparent but not real. So seen by the senses, experienced by the senses, but the senses mean nothing again, the Course is saying. They are all the same in fundamental content. It is this, forgive and you will see this differently. You know, I will experience this differently. And the steps of forgiveness again, or the first step is I am wrong. about the cause of my, of whatever seems to be happening, of my conflict, you know? Mm-hmm. And because the truth is, the second step is I could see peace instead of this. Well, the truth is nothing outside my mind has the power to take my peace away. And that, you know, that opens the door to that loving presence in our mind, which, you know, we've stepped back and allowed ourselves to join with it. And that's it's a saying, you know, I'm trying to get my ego out of the way. I mean, that's the only thing we're asked to do. That's it.
You know? That's right. And see, that's that thing. I'm so glad that you went to that paragraph, because that's actually what I was thinking, that I think is one of the real gifts of this particular lesson, is it reminds us, you think you've got lots of problems. You think they're all different. But you know what? You've got one problem, and there's only one answer. And you know, that in itself, isn't that a relief? Because sometimes you get up in the morning and you go, this and this and this and this and this and this, you know?
Right.
You feel like life is so complex and so complicated. And this lesson goes, you have one lesson, you've got one problem, basically, and you've got one answer. And, you know, sometimes I think about that. Wouldn't that be nice if I went into the garage and all I had was a hammer? You know, that right. hammer would fix every single thing. And it's like, but metaphysically, spiritually, that's true. There is just one tool. There just really is one answer. But we prefer to see all these different problems as being so different and so unique, when in essence, they all are the same thing. They're all about forgetting. They're all about believing we're not loved, that we're separated, believing that we can do that, believing that we're not part of, for instance, that we're not part of the shooter in Vegas, that we're not part of the victims in Vegas, that we're not part of the government who makes choices, that we're not part of the voting public. You know, whenever we refuse to see how it's us, then that separation just then manifests in millions of forms. But those forms are always the same thing. And the tool, the answer is always the same thing. And that's what I think when I reread this lesson, that's what I thought. You know, I just need to so be reminded of that, because I want to see so many different kinds of problems.
Right, right. And but the Course says, you know, there's no hierarchy of illusions.
Right.
Everything we're experiencing here in the dream is an illusion. I mean, that's pretty radical, and that's very hard for us to accept. And we're not asked to really accept that, in a direct way, you know, because that would be sort of denying our experience. We need to know the metaphysics and know that that's ultimately where it's being led, but to not deny our experience. But,
right.
But the way we begin to generalize and recognize that there's no hierarchy of illusions is by practicing this with everything, not mm-hmm. excluding anything. That's what the workbook starts with, is you're not, you know, those early workbook lessons seem very silly. And if you're not familiar with the Course, I won't even go into them, but they basically are, you know, helping you not exclude anything. You don't even realize that this is part of what's going to become your practice. But you're trying to see that everything that you're looking at is the same. And, you know, that's what we're being led to. We have a hierarchy of illusions. We think that a massacre is worse than, you know, something somebody says on Facebook, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, or a mild sarcasm or something. It's not. It's all coming from that same identification with guilt. It's not a sin, but it's coming from that tiny mad idea the Course calls of believing that we could separate and now believing that we deserve punishment for it. You know, and that idea that a real crime is happening. So yes, it's always, but the Course also says, you know, all problems are the same and the answer is always the same. There's no order of difficulty in miracles, is the very poetic way the Course puts it. And the miracles is the change of mind. We can apply this practice to anything. And our process as we move along with the course, because it will be a process, because we don't instantly want to do that. we believe we're right about what we think is the hierarchy and what we can, apply this to and what we can't, what seems impossible. And so the way we get to that is through this practice, and our contribution is really small. It's just to show up, as you were saying, and to again and again have the little willingness to entertain the possibility that maybe I'm wrong about what the problem is and what the answer is,
Mm-hmm.
And that awareness, that willingness to at least take that step will bring me peace. And as we move along with the course, it does bring us peace. We begin to have a peace that is not dependent on this world, that is a huge relief, as you were saying, and that in a sense, there's no me in the holy instant that the course talks about when we join Jesus, Holy Spirit, in that awareness. And that's all it is we're remembering the part of our mind that we deliberately forgot, which never took this seriously and remained kind and loving always and is not threatened by anything, So there's a huge relief in that, and there's a huge relief in letting go of the personal self, but then we get scared again. So this is a process because, we still don't have the confidence in the Holy Spirit, Jesus, that part of our mind, but we still have too much confidence in something that's only brought us pain, which is the personal self.
Mm-hmm. Well, and a word that you used earlier, I think is so important in the course, and that is memory. You know, because once again, we see it as Jesus, the person, or the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? What does that look like?
Yeah.
Is that a dove? What does that look like? Is it a flame? And,
is it a bird?
Says,
is it a plane?
Yeah, right. And whereas it says, it's the memory that you bring into this life with you of oneness, of God, of who you are. And what I like about that is once again, whenever, this is for individual people, but some of them, they can't get behind the symbol of Jesus, or they can't get behind a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It's just too loaded. It's loaded with so many other meanings. But sometimes I think about it, it's just the memory. It's a memory that you're carrying within you. So you know what? You're never separated from it, ever. It's a memory that's already within you of who you are, of oneness, of what it is to be loved, of what love is, of compassion. And it's already in you. It's a memory. And sometimes it may be a little flicker. Maybe it's something that just barely goes across your consciousness, but it's a memory that's always there. If it's helpful to see it as a person of Jesus or the Holy Spirit or however we want to, kind of code it or manifest it, but it's a memory that is within every single one of us.
Right. And it's a presence of love that everyone's, and again, this is all unconscious, but secretly longs for. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we're looking for. And, we're looking in all the wrong places for it and trying to, we grasp at all these substitutes seemingly out there to try to fill it. But that's what we're looking for. And that's what's so sad ultimately about the human condition is that nothing ever really fills it. And, I was watching a squirrel the other day and sitting on a dumpster and just, it's been getting a little colder here in Denver the last
year.
It's like fall arrived. It went from 90 degrees to, like 49 degrees or something
in
the last week or two. And, we have this sudden kind of fall descended upon us, it seems like. And the squirrel was just the happiest squirrel I've ever seen. It had a Ruffles potato chip that was bigger than its head. And it was just like, gnawing on this thing and just like, almost like you could see it just like blizzing out,
Yeah.
And you could almost see it swelling up, squirrels are pretty little. So that's a big thing to be eating, right? That'd be like me eating a potato chip the size of bigger than my head. And so, But I was thinking, you know, it's so funny how we just, you know, the squirrels are driven to do what they do, just as we all have our, you know, unconscious bodily reactions to the weather, and it's trying to, you know, fatten itself up for the winter and you know, hedging its bets against a future scarcity and all of that, and it's what we all do, you know, and we're constantly looking outside ourselves for all of this, and it's not there. It's that symbol in the mind that will lead us back to, you know, back up the ladder that separation seemed to lead us down until we eventually realized we never really left God, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But because of the story we told ourselves, we're too afraid to do that alone. You know, that's become, you know, in our psychosis, that is where we never want to go, because that's where we think the punishment for, that's where the scene of the crime is, and that's where we think the punishment awaits us, the ultimate punishment. You know, that God will strike us blind, the Course says.
Right.
That's what we think. I mean, the Course is saying, no, that's crazy, but yeah.
Well, and another thing that I have been reading about this week, you know, or reminding myself of, I should say, is within the Course, how ultimately what it says is, guess what? You know, it is as if you said, what if, and then you explored every possible avenue. Mm-hmm. You looked at every, you know, millions and millions and millions of opportunities and paths that you could take. And, you know, it reminds me of that movie War Games, you know, that was popular in the 70s, where all of a sudden we, you know, we push a button and we go, well, what if this? What if this? What if this? What if this? And we already explored every single one of those paths and every single possible alternative and went, okay, those don't work. None of those work. So it's, we have already learned that as quickly
right. As
we explored all those paths, we also remembered the truth.
Right.
And that too, metaphysically or, you know, in a very real way, it just kind of blows your mind.
And I mean, it can be very comforting though.
But that's where I was going. It can be incredibly comforting, even though that's not how I see it at this moment. Even though this seems like this is unfolding for the very first time, there is some comfort in thinking, you know what? You've already gone down this path and you already figured out the answers. You already figured out, you know, how this was going to work out, even if that's not what it feels like you at this moment. Because, you know, there again, I think what the Course would say is something equivalent to, in fact, a lot of people use the analogy of the movie. It's as if the script was already written, the movie was already done, and you're sitting there rewatching it.
Right.
But now you've got the opportunity to, number one, remember that you're watching it, but number two, choose who you watch it with. So are you going to watch it with the ego, or are you going to watch it with Holy Spirit? And like I said, to me, it's kind of mind blowing to even go there, but it's also really comforting because all of a sudden, oh yeah, we already figured this out. The memory is already there for me. You know, I don't have to worry about whether or not I'm going to get home. I don't have to worry about whether or not I'm going to find my way, because I already have.
Right. The Course says the end is sure. You know, the script is written, right?
Yeah.
It was all played. I mean, that's literally the Course says this was over long ago. And,
yes. And
you know, that is both a comforting and a frightening thought to us. It can be comforting at times and frightening though to the personal self again, you know, well, what does that make me, right?
Well, exactly. And I ask myself, couldn't I have chosen a better movie?
Right.
One of the others?
Right. And I mean, another comforting part of the Course is it says we don't have to follow fear in all of its circuitous. You know, we don't have to watch every movie. We don't have to watch each movie like a gazillion times. That's a choice. We can.
Yeah.
You know, but we don't have to, because right now, excuse me, I can make a different choice and have a different experience. And that's what the practice of forgiveness is all about, you know, and it really is to try to stay present, to try to not exclude anything from this practice, and to not judge ourselves when we don't want to, you know, when we're resistant to doing it. That's really important. We know we're watching with Jesus in the audience, you know, but beside us when we are not judging. When we're mm-hmm. able to see, oh, it's just another, you know, we really have stepped back, and there's no judgment of ourselves or others in that moment, in that experience. So, I thought we might read a little bit more of the lesson. Do we have time for that?
Yeah, I think we have about 4 or 5 minutes to do some reading and then to wrap up.
Okay, that sounds great. So I just wanted to make that point again about the sameness of all of this and also the practice. So in paragraph 4, it says, it is this sameness which makes learning sure because the lesson is so simple that it cannot be rejected in the end. No one can hide forever from a truth so very obvious that it appears in countless forms. So, you know, again, we're all going to make it home. We're all, you know, we can hide as long as we want, but we're not. But in the end, you know, truth and love will prevail, right?
Right.
And so on the next page or in the next part of that, it says, you know, it repeats again, forgiven, you will see this differently, which is really, you know, to remember, I have a choice about how I want to experience this. And, I can see whatever is happening, I can experience it peacefully and with compassion for all, including myself. That's the choice that I have. If I'm just willing to say, you know, I am wrong and I would like to see peace instead of this, I must be wrong if I'm in pain right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on in paragraph 6 to say, shall we learn to say these words when we are tempted to believe that pain is real and death becomes our choice instead of life? Shall we not learn to say these words when we have understood their power to release all minds from bondage? These are words which give you power over all events that seem to have been given power over you. And you, he's addressing our, you know, us as a decision-making mind.
Mm-hmm.
You see them rightly when you hold these words in full awareness and do not forget that these words apply to everything you see or any brother looks upon amiss. So victims and victimizers included in this, you know, that's mm-hmm. tough for us. That's why we need help. We don't see it that way. I mean, that's why we're in school. You know, if we already knew that, we wouldn't need to be here, right?
Right.
And we wouldn't need a teacher and we wouldn't need the course. And then the final thing I wanted to read was, how can you tell when you are seeing wrong or someone else is failing to perceive the lesson he should learn? Does pain seem real in the perception? If it does, be sure the lesson is not learned and there remains an unforgiveness hiding in the mind that sees the pain through eyes the mind directs. So, you know, it's how do I feel? If I'm feeling anything other than kind and loving toward everyone and myself, I need help. So it means we need to be in school pretty much all the time, right?
Right.
You know, this is a practice the ego will be undone. The guilt in the mind that we're not even aware where it's coming from will be undone through our willingness to practice this to the best of our ability throughout our days. And the work of it is just the returning to that moment again and again that, you know, I'm wrong about the cause. I'm wrong about where I'm placing the blame for what I'm feeling.
Right.
And I could see peace instead of this.
Right. And I want to read one more thing out of this lesson too, because I almost want to say the accountant in me loves it, because it says, we will attempt today to overcome 1,000 seeming obstacles to peace in just one day. And I like that idea. But, you know, once again, it's so important, because learning how to use the tool, learning how to use forgiveness, can undo any number of problems all simultaneously.
Yeah.
So we don't need to. I mean, like, for instance, when I talked about, you know, which movie I'm watching, that's kind of a waste of time. Just do whatever's in front of me. Whatever in my face right now, use forgiveness on that. And that expertise in learning how to use forgiveness literally can overcome 1,000 seeming obstacles.
Those are the lessons God would have me learn.
Yes, exactly. Oh.
So, yes, absolutely. I mean, that's being a student of Jesus. And we're never alone. You know, we're not doing this by ourselves. Again, our part is very, very small. It's just paying attention at what we're feeling and calling ourselves on it.
Right.
You know, calling ourselves on where we want to place the blame. And as you were saying, how we want to distance ourselves from the bad guys in our view.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
It's them. I mean, that's the whole point of the ego thought system, is to see guilt out there in something else, in someone or something else.
Yeah, if we could figure it out and if we could fix them or fix the world, then I wouldn't feel like this.
Right, right, exactly.
You know, and in fact, in the text, this is, I tell you often that I laugh when I read things. Well, in the text, chapter 27, it says, of one thing you were sure of all the many causes you perceived as bringing pain and suffering to you, your guilt was not among them.
Right.
It's like, I remember the first time I read that, I went, oh my God. Mm-hmm. I mean, it does. It just makes me laugh because it's just so straightforward. Yep, that's for sure. You never really thought you were at fault. That couldn't be the reason that you're projecting all this stuff. So.
Right.
In any case, we do need to wrap up. And Susan, thank you so much for being here today. Do you have any announcements that you'd like to make?
Not really. I am speaking actually on this very lesson at the Rocky Mountain Miracle Center. I'm just leading the gathering this weekend that they have at 11 a.m. So, if you know, for Denver students, you're welcome to come down.
Okay. And I am, as we speak, posting your blog in the chat room, which is www.4asinforgiveness.com. And so, and 4as is F-O-R-A-Y-S. So it's 4as in forgiveness. And like I said, hopefully I've got it right in the chat room. So people, you can go and see the kinds of things that Susan is posting, which often includes interviews that she's doing with people at the Foundation for A Course in Miracles and articles that she's writing, etc. So you might want to check that out. And yes, it is in the chat room. So Susan, good luck with your presentation this weekend. That's great. And there again, anybody in the Denver metro area, you might want to kind of drop in at the Rocky Mountain Course in Miracles and check that out. And is the specific information on your website, Susan?
The specific information is on the Rocky Mountain Miracle Center website.
Okay.
But not, yeah, I don't have it on mine, but really it's just that it's Rocky Mountain Miracle Center.org. And, you know, you can find more information on classes and things there, too.
Okay. Yeah, just go and Google that. All right. And, of course, also the Foundation for A Course in Miracles is just an incredibly rich, wealthy source of information, both free information and classes and books and articles and all kinds of things that you can find on that website as well. And that's facim.org. So I would remind you of that. So, Susan, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
And I look forward to talking to you in another month. I mean, hopefully we'll talk before then, but certainly on radio we'll talk then. Okay. And I also want to say thanks to Scott Weaver for being our producer today. And thanks to everybody who took the time to listen to the show and kind of join with us, you know, be part of this, you know, kind of go into that oneness place, whether it was on Facebook or you're listening to this as an encore, just listening to it at some point. Thank you very much for being here. And I would encourage you to stick around on 1-2 Radio, there is more live programming coming up. And until next week, relax and wear loose clothes. You have been listening to the Friday Morning Show with C.A. Brooks and my guest, Susan Dugan, on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way you think about life and spirituality.